I'm going to ask the Lord to guide us now as we look at his word. Our Father, thank you for how we can come now and stop and be still and to be thankful for how we have the Bible and for the passage of scripture that was read out to us. And I ask you that you would help us to understand what we read here, to appreciate it, for that this word to dwell deeply in our heart. We ask for all the scriptures to be alive in us by the work of your Spirit, so that we might be a people who are living out your word. And we thank you that all this is with the backdrop behind it of what you've done for us. And thank you so much for your great love and saving us through your Son. So thank you now for your word, and thank you for your Spirit who teaches us and leads us in all truth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 2014, Colleen and I, with Dennis and Diane, had the joy of going to New Zealand, a beautiful place to go to and to enjoy. And while we were there, we were in the city of Rotorua, and we went to the Tamaki Maori village in order to find out about Maori life and their culture. It was like afternoon into the evening. So a whole lot of big buses got tourists from Rotorua. We were on one of those buses. Our bus driver happened to be named Dennis, and we quickly found out he should be called Dennis the Menace. He was a bit of a troublemaker and stirrer. Now, he was actually a fun guy, and he was a Maori, and I was sitting up near the front of the bus, and he found out that I was a Christian. He used to follow Jesus, and that I was a pastor. I don't know how this happened, but he ended up getting me to lead the whole bus in singing Amazing Grace. So there we were, in New Zealand. Alright, so after that, I didn't realise this, but he and all the other bus drivers had to choose someone to be a leader. So anyway, we come to the place and he said, I'm choosing you. What? I'm choosing you to be the leader. And then all these buses have leaders. And then the bus drivers all come together, because they also not only bus drivers, but organise this whole thing. They had to work out amongst all them, one person has to be chosen to be the leader. Well, Dennis made sure it was me. So that was it, right? So I am the leader, being chosen to lead this mob of tourists. And we come, and I'm in front. I'm wondering what on earth is going on here. And I come to the edge of an arena, and I can see a Maori village ahead of me, and everyone had to stop, and then I had to go into the middle of the arena. How good it is to be chosen. On my own, I come into the middle of the arena, and before long, I am descended upon by Maori warriors with weapons in hand. And here they come, they're flying around, and they're trying to provoke me in my personal space, tongue out, eyes are all white, and then they do the haka right in front of me. What a privilege to see the haka right there. So they're doing all this, and I was told, before it all happened, I had to be calm. I could not show any fear. And if that was the case, then the Maori warriors would know that I was no threat, and instead of eating us, we could eat with them. And that's what happened. We could eat with them. But it's just, I just think of that thing about being chosen, you know, like it's so lovely to have that privilege, isn't it? And I want to think about all you guys. There are times probably in your life where you have been chosen on the sporting team, or on the some panel, or maybe it's in a job you have been chosen to do something special. Or maybe you haven't been chosen at all, and you're waiting for your opportunity. What's going on? Don't worry about it. Because what we're going to look at this morning, this is a really special truth. God has chosen you. God's chosen you. How do you feel about that? This is what the Bible teaches us. He's chosen us. And in our passage we looked at a few weeks ago, in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10, speaking about how we have been chosen. If we are a Christian, a genuine Christian, we've been chosen, and we're part of the chosen people. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Wow! How amazing is that? What a people we have become. And as you know, over this past few weeks, we haven't been doing our series on Ephesians. We've been looking at who we are and what we are to be about. Do you remember that? Do you remember some of this? And I'm just picking up on a few things we've looked at. We've looked at how we are living stones. That's an interesting phrase. We are living stones. And we are living stones put together to form the house of God for God's presence to dwell. And we have been formed to be a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, to serve our God. And we have been formed to be a holy people to praise our God. And some of those great truths came from 1 Peter chapter 2. And we've also considered how we are the body of Christ. And that's another great thing we looked at last week. And how good it is to remember that we are the body of Christ. You're meant to look around and just appreciate how we're different from each other. But we are all, remember those ones from last week, all one, all important, and we are to be all caring for each other, just like how our body works. And I love also that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, which says, "But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired." He's not talking now about the physical body, our human body, but us. And that means when I think of Bazo, a local church, we are not here by accident. God has placed you here as he has desired, that we might be a good, healthy body for Christ. Isn't it great to get hold of these truths? This is how it is. Whether you've been here just for a few months, a week, or a whole lot of time, like Bob, we're here for a purpose. God has destined us to do that, and we can embrace that. Well, this morning, we're going to look at this passage that Ethan read out from Colossians chapter 3. It's the last one really in this little mini-series about church. And I want us to see in this passage about who we are and what we are to be about. And I love this passage. It's one of my favourites, actually, when it comes to understanding the Christian life. And in a nutshell, we're going to be seeing how we're a chosen people and we are to be a choice people for the glory of our God. So please join with me now in looking at this passage, Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 12. I'll just read the first part of verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion." And it goes on to speak about other things. So what I want to first of all really appreciate and take hold of is that first part. We have been chosen of God and we are holy and beloved. We're not just the people who come to Bazo. We're not just the people who will one day soon be in a new chapel. We're not just Christians. It's higher than that. We are chosen of God. When I say that, I don't know how you feel, but that is incredible, isn't it? It's incredible. We form a chosen people, but individually, God has chosen us to be saved, to be a Christian, to be part of his family. And when I think about this, I don't know, some questions should come to your mind. What sort of questions? I'll speak personally. Why did God choose me? Or maybe I think out towards you guys. Why did God choose you? Because, you know, when I think of it, I think of it myself. Have I lived some extraordinary moral life? Been exceeding in my righteousness? Have I been holy and godly? No! So why should God choose me? Why should God choose you? Wow, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? And definitely before we came to know Jesus, we sure weren't living a life pleasing to God. So why did God choose us? We were self-centered, we were selfish, some of us were just rude and rotten. And we all definitely were sinners. And even after we became a Christian, what's our track record been like after we became a Christian? Oh, gee whiz, we still did wrong. Hopefully much less. But we still sin. Why should God choose us? It's a really important question. But he has. He's chosen us to be part of his glorious family. And when we talk about God choosing us, we're talking about something very special. God has been pleased to allow his Spirit convict us of our sins, to convince us that of who Jesus is and our great need for him, so that we might call on Jesus to save me. That's what happened. It all comes because God chose us. Praise the Lord for how he has worked in our life to bring about that place when we called on Jesus to save our soul. And when did, I just want to read to you John chapter 6:44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. There it is. It's Jesus who says these words. And the other thing I want to share that blows my mind away is what we read in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 and 4. In Ephesians chapter 1, 3 and 4 we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Wow! Before I was born, before I did any right or wrong, God chose us to be his saved people. That is extraordinary. And let me make this very clear. This is not a truth that we declare to a non-Christian. It's not something we tell the world. This is a very special truth for Christians to savour once they are saved. You know how it is? You come to know Jesus, you go through the door of salvation, and it looks like you have chosen Jesus and all this, but then when you go past that door of salvation and you look back and see how it all happened, you have a sign over that door that says, chosen by God. You thought you chose the Lord, but he chose you first. How lovely that is. And this truth is mentioned in the Bible so that Christians might be so delighted, so filled with joy, so thankful that God should choose me to be a part of his family, to be a saved person. It's meant to be the reason why we are filled with absolute joy unspeakable and full of glory. You are no ordinary person because of God. And I love this truth. I love to savour it and to think upon it. I hope you do. And look at Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. It says, so as those who have been chosen of God, it goes on to say, holy and beloved. We are holy. That is to say, God has set us apart. That's what holy means. What have we been set apart from? We've been set apart from the world. We are a distinguished and a distinct people. Wow! That's how we are. And Jesus spoke those words that sort of help you understand that. What did he say in Matthew 5? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He's not saying that to everybody, but to those who love him and follow him, to genuine Christians. The Apostle Paul speaks about how we have been sealed with the Spirit. We are part of the body of Christ. We've been set apart. Very, very special. This is who we are. And not only that, it says in verse 12 of Colossians 3, chosen of God, holy and beloved. We are beloved, dearly loved. What a special thing that is to think of. God loved the whole world that he sent his son, but he especially loved his children. You and I who have come to know Jesus, you and I who were chosen of him, the love that God has for us is extraordinary. It is so infinite. It is inexpressible. I love some of the Psalms that speak about God's love. In Psalm 103, it says this in verses 11 and 12. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. And of course, this love is so great. That's why it goes on to say, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Our God has so loved us, he has cleansed us of all our sins. Oh, I love the one in Micah. I read this just recently. Micah chapter 7. And it says there in verses 18 and 19. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. Isn't that good to get your head around? God's love is unchanging. It is absolutely consistent towards you. Even when you're going well for Jesus, even when you're going really bad for Jesus, God's love never changes towards you. It is unchanging. Got to read the rest of it. He delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, and you will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. This is our God. What a lover of our soul. And of course, Romans 5:8 was read this morning. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when I think about this one verse, before we get to the next part, who am I? Who are you in Christ? You are a chosen people. You have been set apart by God, for God, and you are dearly loved. Feel like you're stopping now going, so what do you reckon about that, eh? You should want to just start singing. It is so amazing. This is who we are. This is who we are right now in the old chapel and hall. This is who we are when we go to the new chapel. This is who we are. And it's these things that are meant to fire up our soul so that we live a life for Him, for His glory, singing praises, the high praises for our God. Okay. So now, we are a chosen people, and now we're going to see how the right response that we should have to God is we are to be a choice people for the Lord. A choice people. And as we shall see in Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 17, the things mentioned here, three C words I pick up, in terms of being a choice people for God, we are to be a people who are compassionate, we are to be a people who are Christ-filled, and we are to be a people who are Christ-honoring. And by this way, we become a choice people. A people who declare and praise to God and proclaim His great name to the nations about. Now I want to just read to you, way back in the Old Testament, in one of my favourite Old Testament books, which is Jeremiah. I love this verse. It's the Lord God speaking through Jeremiah. And it tells you who Israel, the people of the Old Testament, were meant to be. And it says there, God says, that they might be for me a people for renown, for praise and for glory. Do you love that? That's how the people of the Old Testament were meant to be. They were meant to be, for God, a people for renown, for praise and for glory. But then it goes on to say, God says, but they did not listen. And the people of old, in the Old Testament, they pulled down God's name. They dishonoured Him. Didn't they? So now we're in the New Testament, and now we are the people of Jesus, and I've got to tell you, I believe with all my heart that the words of God in Jeremiah 13 verse 11 apply to us. Who are we? We are to be a people for renown, for praise and for glory, for our God. The question is, will we listen? Will we listen to Jesus? Will we listen to Him, to God's truth, and live out what we know? And friends, when I look at Colossians 3, 12 to 17, this is it. This is what we are to be living out in order to be that people that God longs for. To be a people who bring His glory in the world. So let's get into looking at this. I'm going to read Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. And the first thing we're going to look at, we're going to be looking at how we're to be a compassionate people. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. I love these words, and they are challenging words as well, because I have, like you, a nature, a sinful nature, that can damage and destroy that. But I want to hear those words. I want to be a listener of the Word of God. I want to take in these words. I want to know how I'm meant to be, and I know that the Holy Spirit is going to help us. So the big thing I find here is I am, you are, As God's chosen and holy people, we are to be a choice people for God by being compassionate. And I look at this first characteristic that mentioned, I look at it and go, that's got to be so important. We have to be a compassionate people. And why should that be? Because we should know that our God is the God of all compassion. And we're meant to be representing Him. What compassion! The other word for compassion is mercy. What mercy God has shown you and I. He's all compassion. And we are meant to be compassionate as well. I think of that great verse in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Titus 3, 4 and 5. But when the kindness of God, our Saviour, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His, what's the word? Mercy or compassion, it's the same word. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. What great mercy and compassion the Lord has had on me and upon you. And we are called to be a choice people for God by ourselves being compassionate. And I look at this word compassion and I feel like all the other characteristics in verses 12 and 13 flow from that one thing of being compassionate. If you are compassionate, look at that list. You are going to be filled with kindness toward others and humility and gentleness and patience. See how it all flows from having a compassionate heart. And you're going to be bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Wow. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We've got to have in our heart and head this thing, compassion. We've come to know the God of all compassion. We are to be known as Christians by the compassionate heart we have. Don't you love that list? Compassion is mentioned as number one. And kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance and forgiveness. Now I want to mention forgiveness. Compassion is the thing that we need to have toward each other. And it's so important that we be a forgiving people toward each other. We be a forgiving people toward those outside this church. But let's just think of here. We are to be forgiving. And if you have anything against anyone, you need to let it go. You need to forgive. Let compassion just flow in your life and have compassion on somebody who's hurt you or whatever it might be. You need to forgive. And you know what's the easiest way to forgive is what I have found. I can't help but forgive other people because for me it is absolutely real how much God has forgiven me in Christ. I have been forgiven so much. How dare I hold anything against anyone, even when they hurt me. Even in our own church, we can hurt each other. We're to be forgiving. And what's how does that all happen? It's that compassionate heart. A compassionate heart because of the great compassion we have received from the Lord. This is to be a distinguishing thing amongst Christians. This is how we become a choice people in the world for our God. All right, now we're going to consider the next few verses. And I'm going to read verse 15 of Colossians 3. And it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." And I've got the heading for these next two verses is Christ filled. And how we are to be a choice people is by being filled with certain things about Christ. And one of those things is we are to be filled with, what's that first one? The peace of Christ. We are to be a Christ-filled people, filled with His peace. And what an extraordinary peace it is. This is the peace that is to fill our hearts. And to so fill our hearts that it rules our hearts. In John chapter 14, just hours before His own arrest, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And yet we are the ones who can get troubled and be fearful. And what Jesus is saying to us, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be fearful. Let my peace fill you. And Christians need to know this. They need to know this peace and to have their hearts filled with this peace. Letting this peace rule your heart. And not just when we are fearful and troubled, but also when you're frustrated and angry. Are you ever like that? I'm sure you are. We need the peace of Christ to fill us. And I can't help but thinking when Jesus is full in me, then he's going to be doing all those spectacular things. And I can't help but think of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. There they are. The disciples are in the boat. Massive storm. The boat is going to go down. And they are so fearful. And all these things. And what do we remember reading? They awoke Jesus. They say, do you care? Can't you say that to the Lord? And he arises and he says those great words, peace, be still. Do you realise though that same Jesus who calmed the storm and it was completely calmed straight away is the same Jesus who lives in us, and we want him to be full in us so that he can also say, when I'm getting unsettled, when I'm getting frustrated and angry, Jesus going, peace, be still. To who? To me. To my heart. He does this. This is why we need Christ to fill us and for his peace to fill us and to rule us. This is a distinguishing feature of a Christian. This is how we become a choice people for our God. Look beautiful, doesn't it? A people full of compassion. A people filled with the peace of Christ. One of the best ways to have that peace in the moment is to pray. Alright, let's read Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it goes on to say, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Guard, protect, instead of becoming volcanic and exploding. The Lord's peace will protect you and keep you. This is how it is. And this is how then, when that happens, we are not going to be in danger of causing trouble, division, disruption, especially in the Lord's church. But we're going to bring about harmony and unity and peace amongst God's people. Which is what it says in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. We maintain that one body, and it causes us also to be thankful. Alright, the other thing that we are to be filled with is in verse 16 of Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So we are to be filled with what here? What's in this verse? The word of Christ. So how does that happen? That's not through prayer now. That's getting out your Bible and reading it. And not just reading it like a novel, taking it in. Meditating upon it. Dwelling upon it. Letting that word come deep into your being. Applied by the Holy Spirit. And living it out. We are to be filled with Christ's word, just as we are to be filled with Christ's peace. And I love how this verse, I'm not going to go into it, but this verse even touches on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because the word of Christ should be just oozing into our lives through all means possible. As we read the Bible, even as we sing. Make sure our songs are legit, according to the word of God. We want to be singing the truth, the word of Christ. Filling our souls with this truth that sets us free. This truth that opens our eyes. So that we can be a distinguished people, a choice people for our God. This is how it is. And I love when I think of the word of Christ, the word of God. I love how what we are taking in is an eternal and truthful and absolutely useful word. It's more important than having physical food. Jesus said that anyway, didn't he? Man cannot live on bread alone, but by God's word. The word of God is so key. And we are to be a distinguished people, a people because we are filled with Christ's peace and filled with Christ's word. So you've got to be taking it in. And so often I meet Christians who aren't. They're not reading their Bibles. They're sort of like doing this fast for 6 days and then they come to church on the seventh day and get something and then you're on a fast again, right? That's not how it's meant to be. You are able to take in the word of God yourself because we all have the same spirit. And you need to be reading the word and taking it in. Let the word of Christ richly, it says, dwell within you. And that also will lead to a life of thankfulness in your hearts to God. Alright, so the last verse we're going to look at is verse 17. Colossians 3 verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. What a beautiful verse. In everything, in word or deed, there is something you need to be mindful in everything you do. Do it for Jesus. Honour him. We are to live a Christ-honouring life. Wow, how good are you at that? In everything, you're meant to be conscious of him. I'm living for Jesus. I'm doing it to honour him. And as we do that, we bring glory to God. God is pleased. We become that people that God so longed for in the days of Jeremiah. Remember that verse? He called them to himself through Abraham that they might be for me a people for renown, for praise and for glory. But they didn't listen. May God's people here at Vaso listen well. May we take in his word even this morning. May we be a people who are for his renown, for his praise, and for his glory here at Vaso and throughout the world. This is who we are. This is who we are to be. I have the joy of declaring these things to you as we get to this place of excitement. Soon, moving into a new chapel. I want these words to be ringing in our ears that we might truly be who we're meant to be for the praise and glory of our God. Amen.
Amen.
And now we're going to sing a song. Glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. God the Father, who chose you, who has set you apart to be his people, and who dearly loves you. It's these truths that are meant to fire us up, that we might be the people we are to be for our God. A people who are compassionate, a people who are Christ-filled, and a people who are Christ-honouring. Let's pray. Now, Father, thank you for these incredible truths here in Colossians 3. For me, as I think about these words, it's hard to take in how deep they are, that you should choose me, that you should choose us to be your people, and to set us apart to be your special people, and to love us so dearly, so strongly, so infinitely, so unconditionally. And Lord, as we hear these words, may these words have great impact upon us, that want us and cause us to want to be the people that we are meant to be for your glory and honour. I ask here for us here at Bazo, I ask that you'd help us to be a people who are filled with your compassion, that we would be Christ-filled, filled with his peace and word, and that we'd be a people who honour Christ in all that we do, in our own personal lives, in the ministries we do, in all our worship. And of course, it's all under the great umbrella of glory be to you. Lord, please would you help our lives, just our old life just disappear more and more. As John the Baptist said, may I decrease, may he increase. Lord, we want Jesus to be formed in all of us, that we would be beautified by his Spirit to be your glorious people. Thank you so much, Lord, for today, and thank you for our AGM, for the luncheon we're going to have. Thank you for this great day you've made. And thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that we have the joy of coming together and singing together as well and breaking bread. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.